Now, I just want to add my own thanks and appreciation for all who have taken time to come and be with us tonight at the Gospel meeting. Now, we're just going to read a few words from the Bible. We do know, of course, that the scripture reading is most important on occasions like this, where we often like to emphasise, and rightly so, that everything we believe and preach and would want you to understand is based entirely on the unerring Word of God. So it's just a brief reading. The Gospel message, we've often said, is an essentially simple message, and so I won't keep you very long tonight. But if you're caring just to turn and read with us, it's in the Old Testament book of Job. Now that's before the Psalms and the Proverbs. In that order, it's Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Job, and just a few words in chapter 9. Job, chapter 9. Job 9, verse 2. I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Now we're trusting that God will bless this brief reading from the scriptures tonight. In the days in which you and I are living, there is tremendous concern, if not anxiety, in the question of relationships. Sometimes we discover there's a great burden about international relations. Sometimes it's relationships between children and parents, between black and white. Today, the relationship between the Islamic world and the rest of world religion. So, there are many other issues which seem to be taking up the time and attention of many folks today in this question of relationships. And of course, sometimes the media, you know, the news, seems to highlight the big problem on relationship, and they give much coverage to it, and sometimes there's very heated debate and argument concerning these kind of relationships. Now, I'm not saying that these relationships, I've just cited one or two, I'm not saying that they're not important. To some degree or another, they might well involve us, and they might well have some effect upon us in our life. But tonight, I want to halt you on your tracks. And I'm asking you tonight, in the next minute or so as we're speaking, to consider what is the most vital, fundamental relationship of all. And that is the relationship between man and God. Have you ever thought about it? You see, these other relationships that are giving great import today, and maybe really an unbiased or a false sense of priority, all these other relationships, at best, could only have some effect upon us during our life. But the fundamental, vital, important relationship between you and your God will have its effect not just in life, but for all eternity. And that is why we're asking you tonight to try and put everything else to the background as far as your mind is concerned. And try and home in on this. A relationship which is for not just time, but for eternity. And you see, this is very much what Job has in mind. And the question they ask here in verse number 2 of chapter 9 is just this. How can a mortal man or woman be right with God? Now just think about that for a moment. How can a human being be right with God? Now, of course, the question presupposes that we're not right with God. And we're going to see that in a moment. And so just for the next little while then, I want us to try and focus on this. You see, the fact of the matter is that this is why this information, to have this knowledge, to have this understanding of how we are and how we appear in the sight of God is of vital importance. And to have this knowledge, this understanding, it can only be arrived at through God's Word. This Bible is the Word of God. It's the only means whereby He has communicated to us here. We're glad to have it in our own language. And it's through reading and an understanding of God's Word and from the Scripture that this knowledge is to be obtained. Our relationship with God. So what we want to do in the next 20 minutes or so is to try and think, first of all, what was man's relationship with God past? Secondly, what is our relationship with God presently? And thirdly, what about our relationship with God in the future? And I'm thinking of eternity. So we're going to think in the past, present and the future. And learn clearly from God's Word our relationship with Him. So when we look at the past, you would want with me, I'm sure tonight, to go way back to the very beginning of God's Word, the very beginning of time. And we discover that our God, now I'm believing tonight that everyone in this meeting accepts that there is a God. I really don't think you would be here tonight apart from that. There is a God, a Creator God, an Eternal God, an Almighty God. And you see, the fact of the matter is this. Just for us even to be alive, to be living, makes us accountable to God. You ever appreciated that? Just to be living makes us accountable to God. So we go way back to the very beginning of time and the Creator God crowned His creatorial work when He brought into being or onto the face of the scene of His fair creation, mankind, our first parents, Adam and Eve. Now when God could look down after 6 days and look upon the scene of His creation, He could look also on our first parents, Adam and Eve, and looking upon them amidst all this creation, He could say, it is very good. That's how it was. He had created our first parents in His own image, after His own likeness. He had given them authority over all, rule over all of His creation. And you know, there was this paradise in Eden that was absolutely flawless. You know, you hear the little expression today, everything in the garden was lovely. Well, that's how it was in Genesis. Our first parents lacked nothing. God had made every provision that they required. Oh yes, we know that there was but one restriction. And sad to say, into the scene of this fair creation, a scene when God could come down and could communicate and have fellowship and enjoy the company, indeed, with the creature of His hand. In the cool of the day, God could come down. Such was the relationship that existed in the past. This is it. It's the past. What kind of relationship did man have with God? Union. Harmony. What a blessed relationship. That was God's intention. But into the scene of this creation, there arrives the devil in the guise of a serpent. The one who had set himself up against God and who is the great enemy of your soul and mine. And as a result of his influence, you know, we discovered that our first parents, they transgressed against that singular command of God. And that relationship then that was enjoyed previous to that was broken, severed, could no longer exist. See, God is of holier eyes than to behold iniquity. Sin is hideous to God. He abhors it. And that lovely relationship past could no longer exist. Our first parents had to be banished from that paradise, put out of the garden. And so when we think now, as far as the past, what kind of relationship did God enjoy with mankind in the past, in the beginning? This was it. Unity, harmony, everything that God required. Everything that he intended and would have wished for. But you see the awful consequences of sin? And so now you ask yourself the question, well, that's past. That's a long time ago. But what about now? What about tonight? Here in the present, in New Cumnock or Cross House or wherever. What kind of relationship does humankind enjoy with God now? Ah. Well, we discover as a result of that fall, the fall of man, way back there at the beginning of time, we discover that now man is a sinner who has rebelled against the majesty of heaven. More than that, presently, we in our natural condition, we stand in the relationship of being condemned in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. If you care to turn your Bible to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, well, you'll learn there, really, that the sentence of death, eternal death, already reigns in our soul. It's been passed. For as by one man, says that verse, this is Adam, for as by one man, what is it? Death passed. It's a result of sin, his sin. And then death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so it is today. We've got to, you know, we need a lot of help just to square up to the reality and the truth of this. In our natural state, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. And so eternal death reigns in our soul. You know, the scriptures tell us that when we're born, as far as this world is concerned, and we arrive in a scene of time, that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's the plain statement of God's word. Yeah, I know today sometimes, you know, with the great, you know, modern news media and message, you know, and all the right communications, we hear about world disasters. And there's sometimes catastrophes and you know, it affects, you know, communities and lands and peoples in great numbers. And, you know, I want to say tonight, friend, do understand this. The greatest tragedy, disaster that ever has befallen this world was in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. When, as a result of what happened there, we, all of us, have been plunged into sin and separation from God. And that's how it is now. That's how it is now. That's our relationship. You see, what is our relationship with God presently? Says the Bible, all have sinned. Says the Bible, there is none righteous. No, not one. You understood that? This is exactly what the Bible teaches as to the present relationship that men, women, young folks today have with a holy God. So therefore, the Bible is absolutely clear. In our relationship, in our natural state with God presently, man in his sin is a lost soul, and we are separated, alienated from our Creator, and we're destined to perish under the wrath and judgment of a holy and a righteous God. What a tragedy. Well, you see now, Is that how it's got to be? Is that how it must remain? No, that's not how it should remain. The gospel, you'll well know, is good news, glad tidings. And it wouldn't be good news or glad tidings were I to leave the plant for now and go back home to Chris House. But here is the good news. Here is the glad tidings. You might say, well, is there anything then that can be done? There is. Not anything that you can do. We'll explain that in a minute. But the fact of the matter is that God has taken the initiative. This is the God of love. This is the great God of heaven that we've come to speak to you tonight. He is a God who will not, must not, overlook sin. He cannot. He's holy. He's righteous. It would be out of keeping with God's character if we were just to disregard our sin. Ah, but listen. Here is the good news of the gospel. That the God who hates sin, yet he loves the sinner. Don't ask me to explain that. But it's true. And the God who demanded the price that would require to be paid is the same God who himself was prepared to pay that price. So is this possible tonight? That you can be right with God? It is possible that you can be reconciled with God. That's a great Bible word. You know, it's not that God needs to be reconciled to us. No, no. There was nothing for which God would require to be. The fact of the matter is it's we who have been alienated and separated. We need to be reconciled with God. And he's made it possible that that can be so. Well, you see, how is that done? Well, we've been reading from the Old Testament. But when you move on through the Old Testament scriptures and into the New, you'll read these words of the Apostle Paul. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Now, you see, here's the means. Here's the way. And the only means, the only way, that we can have a new and eternal relationship with God. It's all to do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, again, when you think about it at his birth, do you remember that great message? When the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son. And at the very beginning, you remember the Saviour who is Christ the Lord, a Saviour to all people. Unto you is born this day, was a great message from heaven. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. So there is a Saviour that has been provided that you and I might be saved from the awful consequences of our sin. Saved from going down to the wrath and judgment of a holy God. And saved, not just for time, but for eternity, and for heaven, and for glory. And so, the Lord Jesus arrived in this world. The provider, the one that God had provided. And speaking in simple terms, you know, the Bible is like that. And really, there is nothing complex about the message that is being preached tonight. The Lord Jesus would say, the Son of Man, referring to himself, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament will say emphatically, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Peter, here again is one of the first great early preachers of this message. He will say that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul again will say, one mediator between God and men, himself a man, Christ Jesus. Now you've got the picture. How can we be right with God? It's not of ourselves. That's impossible. But here's this Saviour that's come into the world, the Lord Jesus, God's Son. And here's the only one who himself is able to put his hand upon you and me without being tarnished or defiled. And he's able at the same time to lay his other hand upon the throne of God without being destroyed. And he's able to bring the two together. The righteousness, the holiness of God in heaven and sinful fallen humanity. How was it possible? How was he able to do that? It was that cross at Calvary. No other means, no other way. The Lord Jesus, whilst he was here, he knew full well all that would befall him. He knew full well the price that would have to be paid, the demands that would be made upon him. But willingly, he made his way to that awful place of sacrifice, Calvary. And there he shed his own precious blood in order that we might be reconciled to God. Again, Paul will write and say, he has made peace. This is it. Peace through the blood of his cross. And twice over in that lovely chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 10, you will hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying, twice over, I lay down my life for the sheep. So there's no one else tonight, certainly not the preacher, and no other believers in the hall tonight, that we're commending to you. Only the Lord Jesus. Salvation is of the Lord, and he alone is the means whereby we can be reconciled to God. You know, how sad, now I really want to emphasize this tonight, how sad that the vast majority of the world tonight, if they have any conception at all of a responsibility to God, and if they have any notion at all that there is something beyond the grave, how sad it is that so many of them are misled and deceived and blinded by the evil one. You know, those who would say, well, but if I live a good life, now nothing wrong with that, that's very commendable. And if I get involved with whatever church, we're not here to cause any offence. But the emphasis is on self, and in one's deeds, and life, and so on. And they seem to think, well, if I'm pleased with myself, and even if others are pleased with me, God will be pleased with me. And you know, with all due respect, that's an affront to God. For what they're really saying is this, God has made an awful mistake. What an awful waste. That sacrifice at Calvary. I could have managed fine by myself, thank you very much. And so many are being deceived and blinded. And then of course, there are those who, well, maybe think that, well, at the end of the day, you see, is this all really true? And the, you know, it's all so pie in the sky. And sometimes there are those folks who will say, well, you know, you Christians that believe that there's something beyond the grave and you believe that death is not the end of all, you know, that's wishful thinking. I want to tell you tonight here in New Cumnock, if you believe that death is the end of all, and there's nothing beyond the grave, that's wishful thinking. I've already emphasized there's a God in heaven. And the fact that you and I are living here in the scene of his creation makes us accountable to God. One day, all of us will stand before God. Better then to appear before him as a Savior God than one who will be your judge, and it should be condemned for all eternity. The plain teaching of God's word is just this: your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and God. And the great message, when you turn through the Bible and discover, even in the very first century, the great message that thundered out from these early preachers, the Peters and the Pauls of that day, was, be ye reconciled to God. Now I want you to notice something. This is not a request. This is a divine imperative. You need to be reconciled to God. So let me ask you now, past, present, what about the future? What is your future relationship going to be with God? How are you going to stand as far as God is concerned when death is over and done with? And then eternity. How will it be between you and God? You see, this is where it becomes also very personal. Let me say tonight, your relationship with God in eternity will depend on your relationship with Christ in time. God will not hold you responsible for the condition in which you were born, but he will hold you responsible for the condition in which you die. Now you see, well, there are lots of ways one can die. No, not really, not according to God's word. God's word speaks of only two ways in which one can die. You can die in the Lord, thou blessed, or you can die in your sin. So how about it tonight? The Lord Jesus said, I think all of us would agree, you know, thinking about the Lord Jesus, where is he? He's in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven tonight. I'll need to stop in a minute. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus, not the words of a preacher. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if ye die in your sin, where I am, thither ye cannot come. And so, you see, this is where there comes in now this area of human responsibility. You see how God has taken the initiative? You see the love of God demonstrated, manifested in all this? But there is human responsibility. You could turn your back on all this. And you could be as our first parents, alienated, separated from God. If you go home tonight and just take a wee minute and read Ephesians chapter 2, you'll really gather all of this up in a few words in Ephesians chapter 2. In our natural state, Paul writing to the Ephesians tells us, as we're born into this world, we're without God, we're without Christ, and therefore we're without hope in the world. That's us. And then he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, that's elsewhere, but here's what he says. Speaking of this great love wherewith he had loved us. In that chapter he speaks of us naturally as children of disobedience, sons of wrath. And so wrath and disobedience, that's what characterizes us. But here he is. There is this God who loves us. And the great manifestation of that love was there at the place called Calvary. So here's the message of the gospel tonight. One God, one mediator between God and man, himself a man, Christ Jesus. You reject him, and you reject all the provision that God has made for us in our sin. And we're without God for all eternity. It's so awful that one can scarce comprehend it for very long. A godless eternity. To be under the wrath and judgment of him, not saved. Yet the message is clear from this book. To answer Job's question, how can a man, How can a human being be right with God? And it's Colossians chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, having made peace through the blood of his cross, to reconcile us, all things, to himself. And so, what about the words of the Lord Jesus that many of us are able to quote? Then John chapter 14, verse 6. How can a man be right with God? The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you need to come to Christ tonight. And you need to own him as your Saviour. He it is who's that mediator. He's the one and the only one who can make us right with God. That peace he has made through the blood of his cross. I'm trusting tonight then that you'll have understood these simple, clear issues, and that you'll just have the necessary grace and faith tonight to place your simple trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation, time and for all eternity. Thanks for your attention. So we pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight again that thou art a long-suffering God. How we praise you, our Father, as we read these things in thy word, a God who would have all men to be saved, a God not willing that any should perish. Our Father, how we praise thee for these true features and characteristic traits of thy character that draws out our hearts to thee. And tonight, our Father, we thank thee again for the high water mark of divine love when we see thy Son upon that cross at Calvary, that we might be brought savingly to thee. Our Father, we just ask that tonight all of us might leave the building knowing thee as a Saviour God, having placed trust in thy Son, and with this assurance that all will be well with our souls for time and for all eternity. These are great issues, our Father, and we just commit them to thee now, thanking thee for help given and looking to thee for an increase in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. So thanks again for your attention.